All right, and welcome to the Rondo. Rondo's back. Don't lie, you know what I'm saying?
Serious line, man.
Right, you perfected it.
No, it took practice. You know what I'm saying? Little Christmas special.
Yeah, yeah.
We're back here in the studio where it all began this week.
I'm back home, man.
Back home. Big up Soapbox Studios.
Yeah.
Okay. And on today's, well, there's been plenty of Premier League football over the Christmas holidays, kind of games every 3-4 days. It's one of my favourite times of the year when it comes to Premier League football, man. It's just baking off at home.
It's thick and fast, man.
Yeah.
It just comes back quick.
Comes quickly. And I feel like it really starts to... If you do well in this Christmas period, it does a lot for the season because there's so many games.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I feel like it's where, you know what I'm saying, you know, people start to separate. You know what I mean? You know, people who aren't really in the title race starts to show a little. But anyway, man.
Started the digs already, fam.
Yeah. On today's podcast, we're going to discuss, you know, a lot about all the big topics from the games that have been going on. So we're going to start off with Chelsea. Going to be questioned on whether they finally clicked since they actually won 2 games in a row. And then we're also going to be talking about...
That's why you won 2 games in a row.
Yeah, bro, we're here, man. We're here now.
Still, was going to do a little spotlight on their January transfer window. It looks like Conor Gallagher may be sold, which has been a topic of controversy for many Chelsea fans. We've got a huge Gallagher fan here with us. Then we're going to move on to Arsenal. They obviously lost early in the week to West Ham, a game that could be detrimental to their title race, but it is quite early on. But some seem to think that it has major signs. We're going to talk a little bit about Arteta's overall job and how it relates to Klopp's Liverpool, because that seems to have come up a lot this week. Then talk about West Ham, you know, how they're doing well in the league. I think they're 6th at the moment. They're doing very well. But a lot of people have questioned David Moyes. It looks like he's going to get a contract extension. Some West Ham fans don't agree. So we're going to look into whether that should be the case. And then we're just going to go in a final topic. What's the final topic here, guys? I'm just looking at the agenda on my phone. Oh, we're going to talk about whether the quality of the league has actually gone up, as it was a point that Carragher made on Sky Sports. So we think it's an interesting one. We've seen a lot of the top teams drop a lot of points to the teams lower in the table. It seems like going away to any game now, to any team now, it's quite tough.
Even at home.
Yeah.
Even at home, teams are slipping. But, you know, any away game now, I'm always a little bit worried. You know them ones like, if you don't get that goal... You know, kind of early on, you start thinking
it could be a long day.
It might be a long day. So we're going to talk a bit about it. But on today's podcast, you got your boy A hosting. I forgot to even introduce myself, and I've got my guys. Tell us, man. Why are you a little bit scared?
This guy needs to start saying our names and that, you know.
I don't know. Rather than me saying my own name, why can't you say it for
me? Right, I got my guy Jalen.
Introduce me as a guest.
I got my guy Jalen. You're not a guest,
you're
though.
You're a host, though, man. You're a host.
You're not a guest, though, bro.
The viewers
you're
need
even
to,
a co-host.
They need to tell you how to introduce the show properly.
We're 5 minutes in,
we ain't even got onto the first topic yet.
You're not a guest. You can tell by this guy's attitude, we've got Jalen in here, man. Yeah. I'm sure you guys recognize his voice. And someone you ain't had for a little bit of a while, we've got my guy Trey, man. Tell him something.
Man. We're back, man. You know, might be Conor Gallagher's biggest fan, but we're here, man. So we've got some real topics to dig into today, man.
All right, starting off with Chelsea. Obviously, you guys beat Luton 3-2. A game that looked like he had control and then was a little bit of a scrap in the end. What's your thoughts on the games?
Do you know what? I would even compare it to the other game you won this week, the Palace game, where I'd say we actually like had control, was doing well in terms of how his player was creating chances and not finishing. And that put us into like a kind of techie predicament. I think this was the complete inverse, where we didn't actually have any control. Like, there wasn't really any point in the game where I felt, yeah, this is Chelsea's game. Like, we're dictating play, got the game under control, our midfield's popping, we're like building up. There was none of that. We literally just like soaked up the pressure well, done well defensively. I think Luton was trying to do this thing where they're sort of playing out from the back and trying to do a long ball over the top, either like a long switch ball from the right to left. But Manuel Gusto was dealing with that quite well. Silva was having a good game, as always. So we were just dealing with the pressure. And then when the chances came, we just scored. I think that's something that we've lacked. I think big up Cole Palmer for just being a baller, fam. Just what a player that guy is. What a baller that guy is.
So you've been really impressed with him?
Yeah, 100%. I think in terms of who we need to kind of have as the first name on the team sheet going forward,
It's Cole Palmer.
I think it might be him still.
Okay. Do you feel like Chelsea should build for him? You think he should be the star of the show?
Yeah, I mean, definitely when it comes to teams where we're trying to attack and kind of have a bit more freedom to do that.
He seems to have a bit of that star quality.
I don't want to say yes prematurely, innit? I think I definitely like what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
You can definitely see there's a lot of talent there. This is a great player. He's very creative. And he's just so technical on the ball. Like he knows what he wants to do. And more often than not, he's going to be able to pull it off. I think his issue might be how he combines with the rest of the team.
Okay.
And sort of what our attacking phases look like. I don't think there's really too much consistency with that at the moment.
Yeah.
And that might be an issue going forward. I think, like, even right now, I can't tell you who are that front four is going to be for the next game. I don't even know if we're going to play with front four. We might be 4-3-3.
Yeah.
Like, today we had Jackson left wing, Broyo up top, Nonny right wing, Palmer in the middle. I definitely want to see Palmer in the 10 more going forward anyway.
He's nice though.
Yeah. I don't think he's a winger. And I think we actually have wingers. So it's like to put him there when we actually have guys that can wing. Nonny today done well.
Yeah.
Took his goal well, done his defensive side well as well, which I think was a problem for Poch with Nonny in general. But, you know, his defender was on point today and grabbed his goal, second goal this week. So I'm happy to see him.
I'm going
to
talk a bit more about Nonny, but I just wanted to give Palmer his props, man. Like, I feel like, I mean, I said it in the chat, man, I feel like he definitely had Curry Goat this week. Like, he's playing with that seasoning again, man. Like, you know what I mean?
Back,
like,
bro,
the quarter black is showing. Like, I can't, like you telling me that ball roll? Nah, come on, man.
That's the coldest goal I've seen.
That's a Black Brothers player. That goal was cold. That goal was cold, so.
I ain't seen that level of composure, like, in a Chelsea attack. In a while.
Composure
is actually a good word to use still. A lot of your guys lack composure.
You can just tell they're so, that they play so young. But they are a lot of them do.
Nah, but I'm even talking about the old teams though. Yeah, even
Sterling's always had that, like,
even the times when Chelsea were winning Champions League and that though, like, their attackers always looks like they're missing something. And they never really had a guy that scored like more than 10 goals consistently. It's crazy. I remember the season even that, like, I think Jorginho was your top scorer.
And that was like 8 pens as well. So it was like,
but my question is, if you see Palmer as the number 10, he has a ball in a lot of midfielders, people speculated whether you'd play, you know, Enzo, Levy and Caicedo together as a three. There's only two spots.
Very important name there for him.
Yeah, obviously Gallagher's there as well. So, but there's only two spaces in that pivot. If Palmer's like the number one on the team sheet, then obviously four can't go into two, innit? Yeah. So who's like the best pivot for you?
I mean, me personally, fully fit, everyone's fit and active and at their best level. I want to say Lavior, and it's between Gallagher and Caicedo.
Okay.
I'll be real. I think...
gun to your head, pick one.
I'm trying to put the agenda aside, man, but it's tough. I think... I'll say Caicedo just because I think he gives a little bit more positional stability in terms of, like, he'll actually sit in that kind of DM position.
Okay, yeah.
And kind of lock it up. I don't necessarily... I still want more from him.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. There's still a lot more that I want. I think, I don't know, like, you kind of watch him and he looks like someone that knows that he can play ball, but just ain't got the rust off yet. But bro, like, we're in December. You've had 4 or 5 months of ball. Like, why is he?
Yeah, he doesn't really exert his, you know, his personality on the pitch. Mm. You know what I'm saying? You don't feel 100%. Him too much on the pitch, and it's like, 100 million signing, that, you know, I want to notice you.
Yeah,
ain't seen a lot of howlers from Caicedo, despite, apart from his debut. But you don't see a lot, I don't see a lot of games where I'm like, okay.
This is Caicedo's game.
That's not really the surprising one, though. This guy left Enzo out completely, like. Oh. That wasn't even in his, like, it came down to two and he said no.
So, you said something interesting. You said that, like, Caicedo's not really left his mark on the game. I feel like Enzo's in that same bracket.
Yeah,
like, I can't really say there's been a game where I said, yo, Enzo's hooped. He's 100% being the best midfielder on the pitch. He created 10 chances. He done his jewels, like, won his jewels, worked back, made a sick tackle, pinged it. Like, you don't really see that from him. Yeah. There's only one person you really see that from in the team.
I still think quality wise, he's the best out of that four.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. In terms of being the best football player in our squad, it's probably Enzo.
So if you were going to choose like the ideal partner out of the other three, Bearman Palmer's now the 10. Who is that?
The ideal partner for Enzo or the ideal partner?
Like if you were to build a two and you just said these guys are going to have a run of 10 games.
What am I expecting Enzo to do in this team?
It's up to you.
But that's what I'm saying. Like he's one of them profiles where it's like it's so versatile. You don't really know
what his role is.
I don't know, man. I just feel like in a 4-2-3-1, like
but just before you kind of get it, so for you right now, Enzo's fourth choice.
Yeah.
In that pivot.
Yeah. 100%.
So you signed for 105 million. So you think he's a bum?
I'm not gonna say he's a bum. I think. And I don't know if it's a Poch
105 million and he's fourth choice. He's a bum.
I don't know if it's a Poch thing. I don't know if it's a Chelsea thing. Right now, he's not been able to like implement himself into this team. I personally didn't even expect him to do that anyway. Because I don't think he was 105 million signing anyway. But I don't think he's the kind of player that you get to like transform your whole team.
Oh, okay.
So people put expectations on him, which I don't think is fair for his profile.
Okay.
But at that same time, if you've come at that price tag, like, you've got to show me.
But he's a playmaker, man. He's meant to playmakers are meant to elevate that team. Like,
but is he a deep line playmaker? Is he like a number 10? Like high?
I don't see him as a number 10. I think the formation to me the personnel suits him. Like we discussed before the season started. Like if you're looking for an ideal partner for someone like Enzo, realistically, it would have been someone like a Declan Rice, like someone who could cover the ground and do the dirty work.
Gallagher.
Yeah, and I guess if you want to say Gallagher's that type of person.
But they don't play that well together because Gallagher.
Yeah, so it's like, it's a bit confusing, really, as to why he hasn't clicked yet. But as I said, I still think going forward, he should be the number one option in that pivot.
I feel like he might not be too bad with Lavia.
I think they're too similar.
Mm-mm. Okay, true. But then I think maybe if you let, then who's going to go and ball win, I think is the problem. Because Lavia don't really like to move around a lot.
He
should be Caicedo, but I don't know. Caicedo's not really
fat, man.
Huh?
He's fat. I'm deep in it.
He kind of is. Like Caicedo was making a lot more ball recoveries when he was at Brighton.
He's actually a biggie,
he don't really move much.
Yeah, but I think that's more due to the fact that the way that they pressed was different, and it was a lot more of a man-to-man system where he's only responsible for one person. And now he's having to cover like actual spaces rather than just one player, innit? So I think his decision making is a bit rash at times. Like he jumps into situations which he doesn't need to jump into as a DM, and I think he doesn't really understand that's his responsibility. Is like he's the last line of the midfield, and
his defensive IQ is not.
It's weird,
not that pattern. I think maybe play him as being Roman, because I do still think.
But I've not seen enough of him. Like I've not seen him do that well enough to suggest. Let him roam. Yeah.
It's a bit tight, man.
I don't know. That you guys got quality there, innit? I think he's just finding the right blend and the right system.
Because even with that, we still got Carney to come back as well.
Oh, so you the guys keep doing
this. He's a baller.
It's not that I don't rate him. I just don't think he's ever really going to start in that team.
No. He could, though.
I think he's a good squad member.
You might could take
him. Yeah, he's a good squad member, but.
Like, he could play LCM for Arsenal and ball there. 100%.
I don't see
he's a couple of years from that.
No,
I'd aim a bit higher.
Who they got playing there right now? Havertz.
Yeah, but it's aiming
higher. He's definitely better than
Havertz. No, Havertz is a bit more mature, bro. Kearney's going to drift in and out of games.
I don't think it's that. I just think the player who he's competing with is Cole Palmer, innit? And he's not better than him. So, where else is he going to play? He's not going to play
in the pivot. He's going to be second 10. He's going to be second
10. Yeah, he's always going to be behind. So, I just don't. Like when you're talking about him and he's injured and that, it's just a bit like I don't really see the impact.
He's an impact squad player, but not first 11. Anyway, guys, we've got to move on. So I want to move on to the sale of Gallagher. I want to round up Chelsea soon.
Yeah.
All right. So obviously, it looks like. So I mean, you've had some interest from Fulham. Apparently, the interest from Spurs is ramped up. Chelsea want to sell him for around 45 million. It's probably because he's going to be a pure profit signing.
Because
you guys have, basically completely cocked up in terms of FFP and kind of overspent. What's your thoughts on the Chelsea owners looking like they want to do that? Because it's definitely not from Poch.
Yeah, I mean, me personally, if you know me, I'm a massive Conor Gallagher fan. I think, as you mentioned before, having midfielders that can implement themselves into games and, make their presence be felt. I think he's the one midfielder that you can say every game. Like, he's made himself known. He's done something that, you know, okay, cool. Conor Gallagher is 100% playing this game. I think in terms of midfielders, he's been our best consistently throughout the season. He's captained us for the last however many games and, you know, led us two wins. I think to lose someone like that's had that much influence in our team, and, you know, like, when you look at the stats, who's, like, doing the most tackles, most interceptions, mm-hmm. most, like, presses, most pressures, winning the ball back in the final third, winning the ball back in the second third, and then even looking at, like, from the attacking phases, who's creating the most chances for us.
Oh, wow.
Who's not having the most shots, but, like, our midfielders that are having, like, the mm-hmm. most shot selections that are playing mm-hmm. at that time. Like, he's top of all the stats all the time.
Hey, you love this guy.
Yeah, bro, like, he's better than brother.
No, but I'm saying, like...
yeah, word.
Like, everything I've said just now is 100% what you expect from Enzo. Enzo's not doing it. Gallagher is. So why am I starting Enzo over that?
Yeah, he's not. But yeah, everything else.
But no, but even all the playmaking stuff. Like, yeah, like, he's created the most chances from midfield.
One question I will ask you. I agree. Like, I think Gallagher's been your best player. And I'm not sure why the board want to sell him. But would you say that he's been your best player because your midfielders have underperformed, though?
Yeah, to an extent. But that's not my fault. If you lot are underperforming and I have to pick up your slack, then I'm now doing five different jobs because you can't do your one. So for that's your fault. Step up.
So for you, he should absolutely not be for sale.
No way. No way.
And if he is sold, what's your viewpoint on that?
I'm supporting whatever team he goes to. I'm on that one. I'll be real.
You're moving back. I think it's
such a bad decision.
I think with Conor Gallagher, it's like he's a player that gives you a good floor level in the squad. So it's like if you need somebody to come in and do a job when other people aren't being reliable, and you guys obviously have young players that are very, like, inconsistent and that.
I feel like this is what I don't.
No,
like,
it's not a vibe, but it's just in my opinion, like, Gallagher's someone in your squad that you need just to come in and be a reliable option, to come in and just shore up the shit. Do you get what I'm saying? Sometimes, and I feel like that's what he's been for Chelsea this season in midfield. But I don't feel like out of the four players, he's the best. Like, he's probably out of the four. If we're talking about talent and quality, he's probably the worst.
Yeah.
If we're being honest about it.
Yeah. But I agree with that.
In terms of reliability, he's probably at the top, innit? So selling him in that regard, to me, is a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And selling him to someone who could potentially be, like, rivals to you, man, for the next couple of years as well in Tottenham, to me, is even worse. Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. That's who you're looking to overtake over the next few seasons. So I think strengthening a rival as well is just weird decision.
But you're not you know what my opinion is? I think right now it will be dumb to sell him.
100%.
Because it's like he is, at the end of the day, he is the best performing midfielder right now. Poch really likes him. But if I were the owners, I would tell Poch, right, listen, you can have the guy for now, but I'm not going to lie, like, it's going to come a time where, you know, we need to cut ties. Whether maybe they try and wait till the end of the season, and then wait till January next year. Because how long is he under contract for?
I think, no, he didn't just sign a new one. I'm not even sure. I think he's got like 2-3 years left.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe just wait a bit. They probably want to get the most amount of money, but I think it's worth making 10 million less or whatever it may be.
Nah.
And just sell him later.
Nah. That destroyer profile, he's a destroyer that's like semi-comfortable on the ball. I'm not going to say his on the ball quality is sick, but he can do something on the ball. The chance he made for Jackson against Palace is like the kind of example of that. In general, Gallagher creates like one or two very good chances every game. So it's like he's doing every job that he needs to do. Why is he being penalized?
His IQ is not the best.
In terms of what?
Like, in terms of positioning. Like, he does a bit of ball. I was watching him today, right? Because I was more on your side because Denzel was... Marcus. Hey, whatever that guy be calling himself, he should be here. Anyway, basically in the chat, Marcus was getting on to you about when you were giving Gallagher prop and saying that you don't want him to be sold. And he was saying that Gallagher often vacates, which poses an issue for Chelsea, often this leaves Caicedo isolated. I wasn't really agreeing with him, wasn't really hearing it as much. I watched him today, I can't lie, he does it, you know.
So what I think it is, I think his role in the team generally is that, see, in those kind of defensive phases, he kind of joins in with the striker to be that kind of high press. But because he's also like box to box, essentially, he can do that and then track back.
Yeah.
So he does vacate spaces, but at the same time, it's like, I'm looking at Caicedo again and saying, bro, like, you should know how to deal with that. Do you know what I mean?
To be fair,
it's not like he's being isolated and you catch him on counters and it's 3v1. It's just, yeah, like, Gallagher's gone up to press,
that's not
and Caicedo's there. And because he doesn't have defensive IQ or good positioning. He's kind of reactive to the situation.
Rice gets left on his own. And if he was playing 4-3-3, Caicedo would be covering that space there anyway. So and I think it must be an instruction from Poch to for Gallagher to join the press. So 100%. They talk about him being vacated, but maybe it's Caicedo that can't deal with it.
So £200 million worth of players that has to be filled in by one man, and then now you have to sell the one man for FFP.
But they don't have resale value right now. You sell their man, you're selling them at a loss, so they have to hold them. Whereas Gallagher's going to be pure profit.
Wait, so who are you saying should be paired with Enzo? Or out of the two, if we're saying Palmer's playing 10, what's the best double pivot?
I don't really want to get back into it because I feel like we're getting a bit over time. But I think I'd like to see Enzo and Lavia have a good run of games to see how that works. But yeah, there's no obvious answer.
Let's not go into too much analysis of that. But I feel like Enzo's just going to have to be a bit more physical and roaming for that to work. But
like Gallagher, we love
I'm
going
to hold my tongue in it because I want to get into that. But we do have to move on, guys, and on to what's second on the agenda. Arsenal. So I know. I know we need to start this quickly because I know a guy wants to talk. Right, so first sub bullet point on the Arsenal list is
that's a quick. Hey.
What's your thoughts on the game, and what are the implications on the title race given that?
You know, it's a good thing that we've had a couple of days, isn't it? Cause I feel like if we'd done this pod like a couple hours after,
You've got Fulham tomorrow as well.
Yeah, I would have been sitting here fuming, but I'll be real. But obviously, having a couple of days to really go away and think about it, I think it was a disappointing result. I think losing at home as a team that's going for a title is always going to be unacceptable, regardless of the type of defeat or the way that you lose the game.
Quality of opposition as well.
Yeah, I mean, quality of opposition, but it's one of them things where it's like, a couple of seasons ago, this result, you kind of get over it, you move on to the next game, it doesn't really have any implications on the season, but when you're challenging sides that have set standards, like Liverpool and obviously City over the last few seasons, like any drop points, of course, they're going to feel, you know, a lot. There's more emphasis on that, I think, and it feels worse than what it really should be, innit? So, but yeah, I mean, I guess it just reminds us of what the problems really are and the gaps that we have in the side. Like, we know where it is, so it's nothing that we didn't know. But the team is just not clinical enough, innit? Like, I don't think there's not enough. There's no ruthlessness in front of goal. It's just very, you know, everything else to me is there, but we don't have that.
Really?
To me, everything else is there, man. It's like I said the other day. It's a team for me.
That's like everything's strong, fam.
Yeah. No, but it's a team for me that's set up for a superstar to come into, and everything else is kind of built. It's ready.
Okay, yeah, fair.
Do you know what I mean? In terms of, like, for example,
I know what you're saying, but
from a defensive point of view, like, you know,
a superstar striker they overcompensate. You know what I'm saying? They will cover. You saying everything.
Trossard
weren't looking too good against.
Yeah, but obviously Trossard's not—he's not really supposed to be a starting option. Like, if everyone's fit, obviously you've got Partey to come back into the midfield. Obviously, I think Jorginho was actually supposed to start the game.
Because Partey's not—I don't really feel like he's someone you can depend on.
No, of course, but again, it's a problem that will be fixed after. I just think what I'm basically talking about is like if you're a superstar coming into this team, you look at like you've complained about Mbappe defensively in the past. If he was to come to Arsenal, he doesn't really have to do the same work because the rest of the team is set up. Do you get what I'm saying? So I think it's a good setup for someone to come into you and just focus on being a game winner. That's it. And that's, in my opinion, that's all we really need to go to that next level and just be kind of not unstoppable, but to the point where it's very difficult to beat us, innit? And we're likely to win games. So I think that's what we're missing, innit?
Just a question there. You said Mbappe, obviously that's an unrealistic expectation. Who are you sort of looking at to come in as the nine to change games like we saw against West Ham?
Or is it even a nine position that you want to change?
I don't know, man. When it comes to this, there's a lot of things like for me to go into.
Interesting. You could keep Jesus and go for maybe an inside forward who gets goals.
Like right now, what I would say is like there's links to Tony in January, yeah. And as much as obviously I want a striker to come in, yeah. Like I just want to remind everyone that last season we got to the halfway point and Man City had, obviously they signed Haaland. He was scoring a lot of goals, but even halfway through the season, you had Carragher and Neville asking, you know, is Haaland making City worse? And that was even when he was scoring more than a goal a game at the time.
Okay.
You know, it could take time for someone like Tony to come into the side and the rest of the team to adjust to having
a different profile of striker in it. So as much as he might have an impact, I think you always got to be conscious of like how a January signing is going to impact, you know, the chemistry of the team and the squad makeup in it. So it's all difficult right now. I mean, it's a problem that Arteta has kind of brought on for himself because he prioritized certain things in the summer. And we, as I said, we knew these issues existed. But what I really wanted to focus on more was the impact of obviously the decision to sign Declan Rice as our number six. And it's not a lack for lack switch in it. So where you've looked at like other sides, like obviously Liverpool has spoken about doing like a midfield rebuild.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people forget that we're also undergoing a similar type rebuild, isn't it? And I think it's different when it's like a lack for lack switch coming in. Like for example, if someone had come in and replaced Granit Xhaka and he's a lack for lack profile.
All right.
And the number six was a lack for lack. You just expect things to just run smoothly, innit? Because it's the same system, it's the same style of play. I think with our number six, Declan Rice is a completely different type of number six to Partey.
Yeah.
Okay.
And obviously, Havertz is a different type of left centre mid.
Are you kind of coming onto this topic because Declan Rice came under a bit of criticism?
Yeah, I mean, he came, that's what I'm saying. So obviously, he came under criticism. People say
offensively, he doesn't give what Partey gives.
Yeah, and I think as I said, and going back to that, going back to that Haaland point, it's like it's almost like expecting Haaland to do the same thing that Gabriel Jesus was doing for City in the past, isn't it? They're two different type of players, isn't it? So the team has to adapt to that. I think Arteta obviously has to tweak certain things, and you know we're getting to a point where it kind of has to start working now. You've had half a season to put that in place, and we're still not there yet, innit? So
okay, so question: does Declan Rice make you worse than?
No. It doesn't make us worse. It doesn't make us worse.
All right, so who's better, Declan Rice or Partey then?
I'd rather have Declan Rice, isn't it? Like,
okay.
I said already, like, when Fabinho and Rodri were going at it, I don't think anyone was really saying, you know, one is, like, way better than the other. They're just two different types of sixes, isn't it?
Yeah.
But we haven't adapted to bringing in a more defensive type of six, and that's the problem. Like, everyone's asking Declan Rice to do the same thing that Partey was doing because it works so well. But, it's kind of changed my view on football a little bit because even me, I wanted Caicedo over Rice because I thought Caicedo was better on the ball, innit? But in reality, Rice is just a better player.
Yeah.
And I think it's the same now with our strikers. So going back to your question about what striker I want to bring in, like someone like Osimhen, cool. In the past, I might have shied away from someone like that because it's like, you're not going to do what Jesus does on the ball. But at the end of the day, the main thing is scoring goals, isn't it?
Okay,
so I think Arsenal fans have to take that into account. We just need someone in the box that's going to score, innit? And I don't really care what else he does because our style of football has changed, innit? Like, bro, we're playing the ball long to Havertz. Like, it's not the same ticky-tack of football that we used to play, innit? So, yeah, man, like, I would love to have Osimhen come in, but it's like, we're going to have to wait 6 months, innit?
Just on the Declan Rice and Partey point, so do you think maybe, so obviously, at the moment, your midfield, like, let's say your number one midfield is Declan Rice, Odegaard, and Havertz. Well, not your number one, but the one that's played most of the season. So are you saying for Declan Rice to be the six, because that's what we're talking about, you need an LCM to come in that can do some of that like playmaking so you can maybe push Odegaard more forward or just even have a bit more football.
Not even, because for me, like if you look at that midfield three and how they've worked kind of over the last month, Odegaard to me is suited more to the deeper role. So that kind of goes hand in hand with Declan Rice being the type of number six that he is.
Okay.
And
what do you take away from Odegaard when you do that though?
Not for me, because I don't feel like he's better in that position for me than he is further up the pitch. I've said this. Yeah, I've said this since years ago.
Odegaard, I've got, 14 goals
That's a byproduct though of him. Obviously, he plays in that position, but it's him on the edge of the box. Cool, he's a good finisher. He can still do that stuff. Like right now, he's playing
at all. That's what had you in the title race.
Yeah, but he's
moving.
But again, though, that's him on the end of moves. He still does that now. He's still on the edge of the box. Do you get it? Like he plays deeper. He does the build up, and he moves in all phases, isn't it?
Yeah.
Whereas last season,
I want him to play in all phases and obviously help out with Rice. So, like, even when people were saying Partey was going to come back now, let's say it was Partey, Rice, and Odegaard, like. So we're now going to just put Odegaard back in a position where that he was struggling in earlier in the season. Like you're going to end up with the same problems.
I thought that was more Odegaard's fault though.
No, but it's not though, because he's seeing three people in front of him that can't shoot or can't take their chances. And he's taking it upon himself to shoot more, innit? So I think the actual midfield itself, to me, they're all right now in the correct role, like, or the right role to get the best out of each of the minutes. So Rice obviously being a very like defensive, that's destroyer type one, six. So. I think Odegaard is in his best role as like a deeper type, you know, midfielder or eight, moving through all the phases. And Havertz is obviously having joy just playing off Jesus and kind of being like a Roman striker, not really having to get to. I just think they're all in their good. It's not that I like it, but I think right now, if you're looking at like the best role for each player, they're all playing that, isn't it?
It's functional.
So yeah, it works, but then it's like the front three doesn't work with that.
I don't know if that midfield offensively was defensively, perhaps. Yeah, I don't know if offensively they were as effective as Partey. No, but Xhaka,
okay. So again, this is the overall point I wanted to make here.
Okay,
coming into this pod, and I think obviously I said it to you before. Like, we've got a bunch of guys here that are like, you see in the Avengers, you got Hawkeye, you got Spider-Man,
Falcon,
but he's being mentored by Iron Man and that. You feel me? You need a Captain America, you need Iron Man, fam. We don't have that.
Oh, I'm so dead.
We got better like guys that are just, you know, they can play their role, they're facilitators to the main guys.
Yeah.
But we don't have the main guys.
Okay.
Saka's not an Iron Man. Let me start. I'm talking about like the Alexis Sanchez,
I hate
the Ozils. You know what I mean? Like the Thierry Henry's,
seasoned
veterans, bro, gunmen. We don't have that.
Do you think Saka will be that though?
As of right now, I see Saka as more like he's more like a Di Maria to me. He's a facilitator.
Who was the first man to say that?
I was the first man to say that.
That's Saka.
But the problem is,
I told these man from time. He's a very good player.
The problem is that. People think that's a bad thing. That's a good to get to spawn that from your academy is a very that's a fantastic thing.
It's a top level player.
No, it's not a bad thing. Yeah, I've never said it's a bad thing, but I said that.
No, it's not a bad thing. But what I'm saying is that.
But you might didn't want that to be him.
Yeah, you have to recognize that now.
But you know, Bearman, just before you go on, you know, Bearman don't think that. Bearman think like you know a lot of Arsenal fans think Saka can be Salah.
No.
But let me say this. Yeah, I think based on how he's performing right now in this system, you would say yeah, that's his level. But
he can still, level.
No. You say like a Di Maria is like the type of player. The status within the team is what he realistically is going to be.
Yeah.
But longer term, we don't know what he has capability to go to another level, innit? We'll just see it. We have to go see how it develops.
I just don't see
it. No, you don't see it. but not many fans even saw him get into a Di Maria level like 2-3 years ago.
But
so.
Once he got to that level, they all think, you know, there's better Arsenal fans that think Saka can be the best player in the world. Like, he can go win a Ballon d'Or.
Someone said the other day, the way that he plays for England, he kind of takes a bit more responsibility than he does, like, in the Arsenal team. Like, it seems like he wants to make more things happen, innit? Like,
he does.
I watch Saka sometimes, and I just think, where's the intensity? Like, we're 2-0 down in a game and you're not going to get the ball off the centre-back. You're not trying to, you know, will us. But you're not going to will us towards like a victory or a goal. The way that I've seen Odegaard do it in the past, where he's really trying to make something happen and the level of his intensity increases. I don't get that from Saka. Like, it rarely happens. Yeah. There's only one game, the United game at home last season. But whenever we're like 1-0, 2-0 down, you know, it's 1-1. He can produce us a moment, as we saw at Stamford Bridge, but he's not someone that's going to go and, you know, take the initiative and really force the game and get us back into it.
Just,
so
just before you make we discuss the last topic on Arsenal, I just wanted to come into it and say that because a certain man that, you know, I've always appreciated playing some beautiful football right now, and that's Phillip Foden, right? You see, when I look at Foden, right, and he's playing the 10 now, and I'm so happy for him. I agree, and I was one of the first people from an opposition fan to say that Saka's been playing better than Foden for a while. But when I look at Foden pure talent level, I look at a player that's capable of being a talisman, a level raiser. Saka's a very good player, but as Jalen said earlier, like, for me, he's the Di Maria, he's the support, and that I don't see it from him. When I look at Arsenal, it's no agenda here. When I look at Arsenal, normally it's Odegaard. Now Odegaard showed me a couple performances last season, where I'm like, nah, this is, he's a level raiser. He's a serious bad boy. Like, I think it was a Southampton game. These men were moving washed. Yeah. Odegaard started balling out of his mind. There's a few games that Saka don't really have that. Like, he's a very good player and he will be a fantastic player for Arsenal, but I just don't see that from him. Whereas Foden, honestly, the sky's the limit. Pep, please keep him. Well, actually, I don't really want you to keep him the 10. But I like the... but I don't know. But at the same time, I kind of do. Because I appreciate the player so much that I want to see that. So I just wanted to say that quickly. I wanted to give Foden some prop. He's playing some beautiful football right now. He was moving mental today. I don't know if you might have seen the clips. Proper dropping the shoulder, shifting man, creating chances.
Who needs KDB, man?
No, I'll stop that.
Who needs KDB,
bro? You like to say though that what's it called? When De Bruyne is playing, you like to say that City are worse, isn't it? Like, they look worse. So do you think that him coming in might upset their balance a little bit?
100%. I think KDB is one of those guys that's like, because he's the Iron Man, you kind of got to play through him. But in doing so, it takes away from other aspects of
the team. Yeah, it does. No, it does. Because obviously he's going to get more of the ball, innit? Like, he's more of the handler.
Yeah, but he balls out though.
Yeah,
he does.
Like, when I watch City games with you, I get annoyed. Because like, you'll see like De Bruyne cross or shoot and you'd be like, oh, this guy, man.
No, but what I would say is,
he creates chances and he scores goals.
What you would say is though is that I feel like they force the ball a bit more when he's on the pitch because realistically you want the ball at his feet all the time, innit? Yeah. And by doing that, I think what he's basically saying is that they don't seem like they control the game as much, but it's worth like the sacrifice because he's going to give you the moment, innit? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I get it.
I'd much rather have the moment than all this control thing that people keep talking about.
Control. Gee, just give the ball to KDB, man.
And I think, obviously, the last point, I just wanted to make a quick point on Arsenal as well. Headed towards the transfer window, I've seen a lot of fans say that they feel like we need a backup to Saliba in the squad as a priority. And if he gets injured, obviously, what's going to happen and blah, blah. But I just want to ask the fans, it's like, would you rather bring in people that are level maintainers or do you want people that are going to raise the level?
Yeah.
Do you get? Like, right now, our first 11, is it good enough, in your opinion, to, like, be better than a Man City? Like, yeah. I think we can compete.
Or a Liverpool.
No. But it's not a level above, innit? And I think, let's say, for example, if we were to, I'd rather, like, take a risk and bring in a striker and risk someone like Saliba getting injured and lose it that way than lose it by just, like, not having a better team, innit? It doesn't really make sense to me. So, I think depth is quite overrated at the moment. It never even used to be a thing like this. Like a couple of years ago, Man City kind of changed the expectations because they started bringing in like a hell of players to come off the bench and the quality throughout the squad.
15 charges.
Yeah, it was brazy. So I think we got to go back to the times where like you fix your 11 first, you have your like cold 11,
pattern 11
and then you build depth on top of that.
My only thing with that is if someone asked you this last season, in that title race when Saliba injured, I don't think you would have said
it.
But the thing is, it's like the Kyrgios kid.
But my thing is like, right, even last season, like Saliba's not an injury prone player, innit? Like you plan for certain things that you expect to happen, innit?
Yeah.
And I don't think you can expect every single season that Saliba's going to get injured, innit?
Like,
it's going to be a rare thing unless he turns into an injury prone player. So I think a lot of Arsenal fans just have PTSD from what happened last year. Yeah. But if we're actually talking about what should be the priority, the priority has to be bringing in someone that's going to improve the 11 and win you games. It's not someone that might play two or three games a season when someone gets injured, man. It's just that's backwards thinking to me. Innit?
On that but point, anyway, I think you need two players, but yeah.
We got to move on.
And I don't think you're entitled.
I just want to quickly say that, you know, kind of the bumps that Teta's coming across just kind of shows the fact that the guy's a level off Klopp and maybe if you guys didn't compare him to Klopp,
you're actually the same.
You wouldn't be in the mess that you're in now.
Let's talk about it.
I think they're the same.
We can talk about it for that.
Let's talk about it.
You got like 3 minutes.
So you think because we lost to West Ham at home?
Nah. Not even.
What is it?
I just think literally the pressure that you men are putting on Teta to win this season that I'm seeing from some Arsenal fans, I don't think it should be that deep. Like I was always saying, before kind of a lot of Arsenal fans were putting Arsenal on a mad pedestal and kind of saying that, you know, Teta's going to be better than Klopp, comparing your players to Liverpool players, comparing them to City players. I always said, I feel like for Arsenal, of course, you want to win the league this season. But in terms of the job that Teta's done, he overperformed last season. Yeah. And yes, you want to judge him to definitely win. And you don't tell Teta it's good enough to not win. Arsenal's a club that want to win majors.
Not but really, though. They ain't won one in 20 years, so can you say that?
No, but they want to get to that, right? Trey, just let me make my point. they want to get to that. But for me, it was like a thing where it's still okay for them to not win this season. But I'll say 2025, he has to win. But obviously, these guys wanted to put Klopp in their mouths, who comparatively to what Teta's doing right now, Klopp won the Champions League last year.
Yeah.
This season was the PL.
No, he hadn't.
It was this season. No, it was last season.
It was this season.
How many years is Teta in now? Four.
It's the fourth season, yeah.
This is the fourth season. This is the fourth season.
It's the fourth season, bro.
From Lampard's thing.
This is the fourth season.
What year did you come in?
Bro, where you want to keep it?
1920.
He came through. And he came through in like half the second half.
All right, fair. This is the fourth. So he won major this year then.
Yeah, but Matt. But
Fairs. All right, fairs. That makes sense.
I mean, I get what you're saying. Yeah, but the expectation at Arsenal changes when you hit a certain position. Like, he hit a certain level last season, yeah? Mm-hmm. And the main reason why I think fans have put pressure on him is because he decided to spend 65 million on Havertz. And when you do something like that, your time gets cut in half. That's the truth, bro. Like, you have to live... But you make mistakes on players that actually look like prospects, innit? Like, if you're buying a player from... Yeah. A rival club that has not performed and not been good, and you've still gone and spent 65 million on that player. Of course, that's a risk that you got to die by, bro.
Has Havertz been that bad?
I'm not saying that he's been that bad, but it's like,
okay.
No, but you put 65 million towards him, and we've still got like other glaring issues in the squad.
Yeah, you do, yeah.
That type of profile that Havertz brings into the squad, yeah, it's useful, but you do that after you've put the foundations in place. We don't have a left centre midfielder, bro.
I'm saying we should have focused
more on targeting someone just to have that foundation. Then you bring in the luxury profile.
So if you don't win the league this season, what do you want to do with Arteta?
Come on, man. Like, well, obviously, he's not going to go. No. But let's not do that because
you're going to be embarrassed. The reason why you're going to be embarrassed.
Who's going to be embarrassed, though? No one's going to be embarrassed. I'm going to be very disappointed if we don't win the league. I'm going to be extremely disappointed.
If you win this season, you're going to be very embarrassed because you've done too much.
No, we haven't. In what sense?
In terms of like how you built the whole squad.
Yeah.
And then like from that side of things.
The names that you put your players next to, the names that you put your manager next to.
Okay, but again. Yeah. That's like
that's why you're going to be embarrassed.
Like he's not doing combined 11 with City.
Hold on. No. But this is the problem that I have here. It's like that Arsenal side, cool, we might call our players like they're better than this person or, you know, we have better players than Chelsea or this... Bro, we lost to a treble winning.
Don't say that. Hold on.
Let me land.
You said you played better than Cities and Liverpool.
Yeah, yeah, but we have. In my opinion, we still have players.
I see Real Madrid and Arsenal combined 11.
Bro,
I think people don't understand that we do have players that are very competitive. If we're going player for player, like as I said, players like Saliba, players like Rice are going to be competitive in those arguments. That's the fact.
That's two men.
What, Odegaard doesn't get into some 11s?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. There's guys that you can get.
But bro, I'm seeing 11s and I'm seeing Zinchenko in there.
Bring examples.
Bro, you want me to show you the Arsenal?
Yeah, bring examples.
11.
I'm interested to see. Going back to the original point, yeah. Like, again, last season we lost to a treble winning City team.
Even calling someone like Saliba better than Van Dijk, cheeky.
That's not cheeky though, because a lot of people say that.
No, that's not something
that is just Arsenal fans. Cheeky. And now you lot are getting up. I've seen Liverpool fans get upset.
Look at this Arsenal Madrid. They've got
Rare
and go over
Courtois.
Courtois is injured.
It's Rare over Kepa.
Okay, still. So they've got the whole back four.
Like already it's tapped.
They've got Rice, Modric and Bellingham, fair. And then they've got Rodrigo on the left and then Jesus and Saka up top.
Based on who's fit though, what's wrong with that? This is based on who's fit. Vinny Jr. So who's supposed to be in there?
So, what's his name? Rudiger's not meant to be in there.
Nah, I think Rudiger, not over Gabriel. No.
Oh, come on, man.
I'm being Rudiger.
Rudiger's better than Gabriel.
You see what I'm saying? So when you actually start Rudiger's going through it, now Gabriel. You're starting to realize it's not that bad.
Rudiger's better than Gabriel, in my opinion.
Okay, but again, player. But you saying that, it's like you're saying it as if we said it like it's a howler, bro. That's a very good. No, it's not.
Top centre.
Gabriel is better than Rudiger.
Zinchenko over Ferland, Mendy, or Alaba is a howler.
Alaba's injured. Okay. They're both injured. They're literally both injured.
Are they both injured?
Yes, they're both injured, bro. Alaba's done his ACL.
I'm taking Camavinga at left back over.
Yeah, Camavinga. 100%. I'll take Camavinga at left back. That one's undisputed. 100%.
Right back, who did? Oh, they pick Carvajal.
You see what I'm saying? You're starting to realize. It's really not that deep, but even still,
you know some Arsenal fans are overdoing it. Though.
Of course, no. Listen, Arsenal fans overdo it. But
like
even when they're saying something like Saka's coming, but listen. Yeah, you're saying that we're gonna feel stupid at the end of the season.
You will.
For losing to a Man City side that are extremely good and under a prime Pep.
Yeah.
What do you want me to? Like, I'm not gonna be sitting here saying, "Oh, we done too much." No, I'm not gonna be doing that.
I'm gonna be disappointed.
I'm gonna be disappointed.
You said that you think that you
won
the league.
But okay. So if we don't do that now, what am I gonna be sitting here feeling stupid?
You're pretty bad. But even like we're talking like the issues of this world and the other ones in the TL, they're moving mad, bro.
Listen.
So if you listen to us, what are you saying?
Listen. Let me ask you this. Yeah. So the season after Liverpool won the Premier League.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you had gone and spent 200 mil in that window, yeah. Mm. And the reason I say won the league that season, I think you were far ahead of City, but it was you were roughly around similar level.
Same level.
Yeah, so if you go and spend peas on top of that, You're going to expect an improvement the following season, though. You're going to expect your team to win the league.
No, that's fine. But that's facts. But it's what's coming out of your camp from certain fans.
I don't think there's a lot of issues in this world. I don't personally think like Arsenal fans haven't said anything to me that is like, you can't debate that. Do you get it? Like, if you can give me an example of something that can't be debated, then
a lot, bro.
So what?
Like, I feel like a lot of Arsenal fans, sorry guys, just to give context to the listeners, Ish is a guy, he's been on the pod before, he's a guy in a group chat, he's an Arsenal ultra. But I said, there's a lot of Arsenal fans who talk, for instance, they talk like, they're just better than Liverpool, for instance.
But I do believe I don't think that's a debate.
I don't think it's a debate.
Okay, but that's, no, it is a debate. It's not a debate. It is a debate.
No.
The reason why I don't think
it's a debate. When I say better than Liverpool, they talk like, it's not a discussion.
It's a discussion.
That's not a plausible argument. To say that, no, I'm not even saying Arsenal and Liverpool are similar levels right now. To think that Arsenal are better than Liverpool, that's car. I'm not even getting onto that. But to talk like I've spoken to some Arsenal fans, seen them on the TL, that they're talking like, don't even like, we're on another level. And I'm thinking, where's the argument?
Where's the basis? The problem that I have with Liverpool right now, is that they finished fifth last season, Like, now Liverpool fans are using that as a reason to say that they're overachieving this season, when in reality, last season, they should have just been up there.
So I don't like,
let's stop all of that, because you keep talking about rebuild. Yeah. We had this discussion yesterday. Like, if you go back to all the players that you keep saying are the best in the world for their position are still at the club.
But I don't think anybody
they
expected.
They haven't gone anywhere.
I don't think anybody expected Henderson.
Bro, when you have four players in your team that are the best in the world, according to their fans, how can you not be
up? No, but bro, we had no midfield.
And he's talking about Klopp being like, that's fine, but I just want him to hold on to that stand. You can't then say, oh, we're over.
But we had no midfield.
I don't think it doesn't.
We shouldn't have come outside of the top four, because it's a challenge.
No, but even now, you're still relying on those players to win you games. Yes, it's not convincing victories.
We now have a midfield. Like, at least we have
one. But it's not a midfield. It's just a midfield doing a functioning role.
But last season they couldn't do that.
We need what they have winning their games right now, and they need what we have in terms of control, innit?
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean? Like, we both have opposite things. But my point is,
we're violating, so we need to move on. But no, last season, my point, just in front of him, last season we did not have a midfield. Henderson and Fabinho, stop saying that you didn't have a midfield, bro. Jones was there last season.
Jones, you had options. You could have done certain things.
Jones wasn't in form. And Henderson and Fabinho again. Jones isn't a player, right? Let me just make a point. You just spoke about Jones
because you're going to talk about underachieving, and you did like
no. Jones is not. He's starting to get towards that, but he was not a player that can raise a level. He's not a player that can carry guys.
He still can't do that now, though. It's the same guy, bro.
He doesn't need to carry guys because
you're playing with Endo in midfield, and you're telling me
he's
that
doing,
you now have a midfield.
He's doing okay.
He's calm. That's it. You're calm. That's all you needed.
Fabinho and Henderson.
Do you get my point? What I'm saying, all you really needed was just functional guys, competent guys.
That's all we need. But we didn't have that.
Yes, you did.
Henderson and Fabinho weren't.
No, stop trying to say that they were. Okay, so when they went on their run at the end of the season, was Fabinho playing?
But
why did he turn good? Because Klopp changed the tactics to something that you man asked for him to do early in the season.
No, bro.
You make changes, you make things happen. If you're a good manager, you would change it early in the season.
Fabinho playing like how he was playing is unacceptable,
bro. Listen,
bro,
as I said,
Fabinho's not even playing that well in Saudi.
I'm not gonna hear now that you man finishing fifth last season is a reason.
I didn't say that.
As a reason,
I said top four.
No, but you said that they're now overachieving because of that. This isn't overachieving. No, this is just what it should be.
Or someone's like,
bro,
the media.
See what I'm saying?
Hey, no,
so shameless.
Just on that point, yeah. The media said, yeah.
No, bro, stop saying that. They said that
Klopp this season ain't challenging.
Like, no, you happening. Said that.
No.
No, he said. No, I didn't. He said. No, this is what you said. This is what he said. He said, this squad is going to finish second, but Klopp is a genius, so maybe he might make us challenge. That's what he said.
That sounds like you.
Exactly. How does that make sense? But it's second.
Because you should be competing regardless.
It's second, not
with the players that you have.
I said we'll challenge, but we'll drop off. That's what I thought would happen.
But hold on,
Jaden, before you come in, what other man said,
that means he's talking about the future, because we're only halfway through the season. So how do you know you're not going to drop off?
No, I don't think we're going to do now.
Yeah, but you think you're predicting.
Yeah,
we don't know that.
But even where we are right now,
is what
Media didn't have us there. Other fans didn't have us there.
Oh,
they
come
said,
on,
they
man.
Said we'd be fighting for
bro,
top four.
We said before the season.
No,
you
said that.
Before the season.
You said that. Ask that bum rap. By the way, United lost again, you know. You're a bum, you know. Hey, I'm just going to tell rap right now. United lost again.
Listen.
These men are serious bums.
But you see with Liverpool, like, I just think, yeah, cool. You man got your game winners. You got what you need. But at the end of the day, the core of the team to me is still the same as during those prime club years, isn't it?
Mm.
So all this rebuild stuff, yes, you might have a midfield rebuild, but it's not a squad rebuild.
Yeah.
It's not, you know that when City lost Kompany, you lost Yaya Toure, you lost Aguero. Those are big players to replace. These men haven't lost that. It's not a rebuild.
We've lost some big players. But anyway, I'll give it to you right now because we need to move on. West Ham. So West Ham, obviously, big result against Arsenal. They're also sixth in the table. They're doing really well this season. What's our thoughts on West Ham quickly before I ask a question about Moyes?
There's not much to say
in it. Yeah, like, I think they're doing well. I think they're doing well.
I think
it's one of them things.
Talk
like,
about big clubs.
No, it's not even that.
You've got plenty to say.
Listen, my friend. Relax. West Ham are doing well, but as I said, like mid-table clubs throughout the season, like they're always going to be periods where different clubs pop up in that top six or top five or whatever it is, isn't it? Like, they're inconsistent, so
you don't think they'll maintain it to them.
It's not about them maintaining it. I just think at different points, like you're gonna have a Brighton that's in there. You're gonna have like obviously Villa up there now. Mm. Spurs have obviously dropped out. You know, people are gonna rotate throughout the whole season. It's only really like the last 10 games where you start to see like, cool, this is who's fighting for you know, Europa League positions.
Yeah,
this is who's fighting for Conference League and whatever. And are West Ham not in the Europa League as well?
Yeah.
But my point about West Ham is like, do you like what they're doing? Like, is there anything commendable about
it? I think
them?
It's very like a lot of people have said, it's old fashioned football, isn't it? Like, it's not pretty, but at the same time, there's nothing wrong with it. Like, I've said already, like, if West Ham went to Arsenal and played a completely different way with this particular squad, they would have lost, didn't it? They would have lost the game. So that's
definitely away from home.
You got to do what you got to do to win. And now looking back at it, like, no one's going to be saying at the end of the season, you know, West Ham, they finished sixth place. Oh, but they played shit at Arsenal. Like, these men partner up. Like, no one's saying that. Newcastle partner up spare times.
Some people say it. So West Ham are actually doing a lot better than they were doing last season where they were, like, kind of struggling a bit. They weren't really pulled into the relegation scrap, but they weren't too far off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something like, at this point from last season, they're, like, 10 points better off.
Yeah.
And obviously, they sold Declan Rice. So some people are saying that Declan Rice couldn't have been that influential to the team for that to happen.
No, but I heard that midweek, yeah, but... My problem is
It's mad nasty.
But my thing is like
it's mad nasty.
The start with the way that they played against us, like, I don't know if West Ham fans are going to try and sit here and say that Declan Rice playing in that setup would not have made them even more resolute than what they were.
Yeah.
So I don't really see the debate.
So but how come they got better without him?
I mean, got better and actually, like,
they got better without him.
Yeah, but you know when you say got better, like, cool, your results have improved, but has the team overall got better?
I think the team's better.
And what would you put that down to?
Kudos.
So I would say, I think, you see when you're at that level, yeah, and I made the point to a guy who made it in the team, I actually think it was Dissu. So I made the point because I think when you're at that level, yeah, you want more of a team. Mm. So being able to take Rice out, who's a fantastic one player, and actually get like three or four players that they brought in that can raise the whole level across the pitch. If you do that well, that will improve your team.
Yeah.
It's like a different sort of level when you need those pivotal one sort of signings. So that's why I feel like they're a better team because they've gone and done that. Like you think Kudus, is it, who's the name of the pivot? Kamara? No, it's not Kamara, that's the Villa guy. Alvarez, that's it. They've got him in, Ward-Prowse. All of these guys have made like a big difference and they're very suited to their style of football as well.
Not Thing, not Pato. There's another centre back they got us.
Like you think about the way Ward-Prowse is whipping in free kicks. Mm. Kudos is, you know, quality in transition, quality as a player.
Amazing signing. As
well. Yeah, really good signing. They did well too.
I think out of the people that they brought in, obviously Kudos has probably had like the biggest impact.
Yeah. I think he's been their best player.
In terms of actually winning games, I think the midfield's obviously done a good job in terms of just, again, being stable. They brought in experienced players, but Kudos has been like the main guy and I don't understand how like top six sides continuously keep letting players like this slip through the web a little bit.
Feel like it's a big slip to let Kudus go to West Ham?
I mean,
you man was in for him though, no?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like someone like that was there on the market for 40 mil. Mm-hmm. Like Ajax were willing to sell. It wasn't like it was gonna be a hard negotiation. Linked to Liverpool, obviously Arsenal were interested, Chelsea were interested at points, and it's like all of them have said no. And he's come now and adapted to the Prem probably quicker than most signings. And you just know in 2 years' time, all of these clubs are going to be looking at him again for double million. The price. And yeah, it's just like, yeah. I just don't understand how it continuously keeps happening. Isn't it? So, I don't know, man.
I find it so weird because like you think, I'm not a director of football. Jaden's not a director of football. We watch football. I was watching Kudus here. And you know when you're so convinced a guy is going to translate to the league? Like, me and Jaden were both watching Kudus and said, this guy is going to pop off in the league. Yeah. A top club should sign him. And they let him go to West Ham. And now, in a couple of years, I guarantee, I am actually so sure, yeah, Kudus is going to be bought for upwards of about 80 mil.
But that's the problem, in two years.
He's only 23. Like, he was already that level. I get it when, you know, for instance, even someone like Mudryk, you know, I think clubs were good in terms of to see his potential and get onto him. I think they paid too much. But even someone like him, if he came into the league and say a West Ham bought him or something like that, because he looks a little bit more raw.
Yeah.
And there's another few players, no one else like kind of straight comes to mind. But Kudus, I was seeing
Martinelli.
I was seeing all of the things that made me see that this guy was a guy who was of the level, and they've let him go to West Ham. So
it's disappointing.
It's not going to be West Ham aren't pressed for peas, so it's not.
I just think like the price like compared to the market, like it's a no brainer.
But,
it's
low but risk. Would he have stayed at Arsenal and been on the bench the whole time,
bro? I think he would have been willing to do that. Like not stayed on the bench, but like you look at the way that our attack's moving right now, like he would have got opportunities. We've had injuries this season as well.
I wouldn't have liked him on the left though, but he can do
it. But again, like I think he's so versatile that he could play three or four different roles. Like he played in the middle of the park for Ajax a few times as well.
Yeah.
I think there were rumors that he might play in the number eight role for us. Like there's so many different things he could have done in it. So
for Ajax, I saw him play eight. I saw him play right wing, and I saw him play false nine. Balled out every single one. He scored a mad goal against us when he was playing false nine.
Bro, I remember the goal still.
Yeah, you remember Quad Champions League group stage game?
Yeah,
good player. Anyway, moving on. Moyes, talk to me. A lot of West Ham fans have said that, so it looks like he's going to get a contract extension. Obviously, like Jaylen said before, he plays quite a pragmatic style of play that doesn't really inspire a lot of the West Ham fans. They're saying that the man just won the European trophy,
and they're sixth place.
Yeah.
Jed has already come.
What are you complaining about?
A lot of them are saying that they don't want him to go on. They want to get a manager who plays better football.
You not play your little tippy tappy football, but you're not going anywhere. Like respectfully, you're not going to get any better than this. But that's the truth, bro. He's in sixth place. He just won a Conference League trophy. You're through in the Europa League, top of the group. Like, what more do you want? I don't understand.
So you think they're getting too big for their boots?
Facts.
It's not that. I just think be careful what you wish for, innit? Because when you're at that point, I think when you're at that stage and your expectations are a bit lower than the top clubs, and Moyes has been very open in interviews about where West Ham are at and what they should expect.
Like some of them haven't liked that. I don't know if you've seen West Ham. I see a bit of them.
Keep them grounded, but at the end of the day, if you start playing a more expansive, you know, when you start playing a more expansive like style of football, it's very... The type of players that you got to bring in are a lot more like niche profiles, isn't it? So it's harder to recruit.
It exposes the quality of your
players. Yeah, and until you have a full squad of players like that, when players get injured, it's way more difficult to deal with something like that, isn't it? So the way he's playing now, in my opinion, like, there's nothing wrong with it, man. What did these lot want?
I think it would be worse if he was like playing a pragmatic football and was like 15.
Yeah.
I'm expecting to sign up. Yeah, if he's doing it, it's working, you're still in Europe, you're doing well in Prem.
I think the problem is give him the season a little bit up, and so obviously to be fair he was like I think it was 14th last season,
14th.
Yeah, but obviously they won the Conference League. He is doing well in the league this season, but I think it's a bit the fact that they don't know, maybe he'll drop off. Like his league positions coming in, they've been decent,
yeah,
but it's not even like say every season it's top 7 guaranteed. He has done well though in a couple of seasons
so. Yeah, but even like guaranteeing top 7 in this Premier League is tough, bro.
Yeah,
you know, like,
you actually possible. Don't know who's going to win.
You've got a trophy, which is mad.
So like, take that, take the season like one game at a time. See what happens. See who performs. See who doesn't perform. Make your changes, and then maybe January they might grab someone just to like bolster it a little bit. Yeah. But
yeah, no, I was just presenting the argument because I wanted West Ham fans to be heard, but I do think realistically,
not even a big team.
You need to be.
They got to hold it realistically.
You need to be honest with where you are. If a pragmatic manager is getting results, you've got to give him time.
That's calm, man. Give them Bielsa, innit? Let's see how that goes. Give them Bielsa.
I think a lot of them were saying they want De Zerbi.
Yeah, Yeah, go, but why would this
guys overrated,
man.
Overrated,
why would you go to West Ham?
West Ham's a bigger club than Brighton.
There's no way he would do that. Like, if he's
no, gonna, bro, West Ham's a big, like, you'll get paid a lot more.
If De Zerbi leaves Brighton, he's not going to West Ham, bro. Yeah, he's going to a club bigger than that. You feel me?
That's a sideways step.
It depends, though. Some clubs have kind of done.
The only way he goes to West Ham is if he was to get sacked by Brighton, and then that's the next job that comes up. That's it. There's no way
you
he
don't
trades.
Think he'd leave to go to.
No,
he shouldn't go.
There's no reason to.
But sometimes they're able to attract players. Like, you've seen managers just like do that little jump in the league.
No way.
It don't make sense.
It wouldn't make sense for him. I wouldn't say it. But
for him,
you're saying that there's no way they could attract him.
No way. No.
They could attract him.
David Moyes probably on double the PCs on.
That doesn't matter, bro. There's no way.
You think he'll wait?
Yeah.
But Zerbi already looks like he's getting a little bit frustrated.
Of course, but to West Ham.
I remember I saw an interview the other day that he doesn't like the fact that obviously Brighton, they do kind of get that niche player that can play good football.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because of where they're at, they of course can't attract a big player who plays that type of football. They have to get young
and
players.
And he keeps losing big players as well.
Like, yeah. But he's commented on the fact that that's frustrating.
No, I know. He said he doesn't like the policy. There was a player that he singled out the other day. I think he was at Belebuka. He's playing in midfield. And he said, like, he doesn't want to have to play someone like that, but it's club policy.
Is that what he said?
No, he just said, like, obviously. No, it's not that he doesn't want to play him, but he's saying, like, you can see, because he's a young player, he makes mistakes. He'd rather have someone in there that's more experienced and more sure. And that's what I was even saying the other day. Like, people are judging De Zerbi right now based on how he's doing at Brighton. But I just feel like if he went to a bigger club and the expectation was, you know, to bring in better players, they can hold on to their best players, I think he would do better and probably be better defensively as well.
Cool. All right, a few minutes left. Has the quality of the Premier League gone up or down? Point from Carragher.
I think so. I do actually think it has. I think the level of the mid-table clubs has gone up.
Yeah.
I think
yeah,
the bottom of the league is always going to be. It just depends on kind of who comes up and what they decide.
Even then, the bottom still.
No, relegation. No, the relegation. And then from about 17th, I can't like the pattern.
But I think the clubs
say that we struggled against Luton. You struggled against Luton. You struggled against.
Yeah, but,
Luton.
No, but again, it's a different thing.
It's a bit different for me. Like, I think you look at like the Sheffield United, the Burnleys, blah blah blah. They're teams that majority of the teams in the league were still expect to beat, and but I think. Even I made the point to Ayo earlier, like, you know, when Liverpool were kind of like in their prime and they were in their like good period, they were so much like better physically than other clubs. Like, their press was so much better. They were way better in the duels. I think over the last few years, a lot of the mid-table clubs now can deal with that a bit better. They bought in profiles that 100%. Are better physically. They're now able to play out as well. They've got a lot more profiles. So they can play out of presses from the top side. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But also, like, we just spoke about someone like Kudus. Like, players are slipping away from the top six and finding themselves at clubs that are mid-table teams. You're looking at someone like Paqueta has ended up at West Ham.
Yeah.
Kudus has ended up there.
Mad, you know. Diaby's
ended up at, obviously, Aston Villa. So they have threats going forward now as well that can actually punish the top side.
Yeah.
So if you look at, like, all of those three areas, like, that's the reason why, you know, top sides are starting to drop points to these mid-table sides. I do think the quality has increased just because those profiles of players are mad.
No, I think I really like that point that you made about the signings. Like, you think about guys like Kudus, guys like Paqueta, guys like Diaby. Them being at West Ham and Villa just shows a crazy quality of the Premier League that we're able to attract the sort of players. Like, I think any other league, they're going to the top players, top teams in that league.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, you think about, I remember the quality of the goal that Kudus scored against United. Was it United?
Yeah.
Or with the right foot. Bro, that's a top. Nunes didn't even give me that. That's a top six quality attacker. Even what we've seen from Diaby, Paqueta, he's a top player. So yeah, I think that's definitely.
And I think as well, like, tactically throughout the league, managers react to things over time. I think, like, certain behaviors or certain tactics, like, they're instilled at the top, and then they kind of filter their way down, isn't it? Because the teams lower down have to react, obviously, what the bigger clubs are doing, and I think. Over the past few seasons, they've done that. But because the tactical level at the top of the Prem is so high, obviously with guys like Pep and obviously what Klopp has brought in, like, that's just filtered throughout the whole league, innit?
And yeah, a lot of people pick it up.
But I think that filtering process has been faster because the quality is higher.
You can trust your players to do so. And obviously they have the money to actually react. That's the thing. Clubs in the other leagues, they don't have the peas to even, like, react to what the top clubs are doing, innit? Yeah. So they've been able to respond to that. And I feel like right now, I don't want to say that, like, it's the toughest season for the top sides really to gain points, but as I said earlier, like, a lot of the away games people are going into,
you're
just thinking to yourself, there's so many different ways we could lose this game.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, bro, you're going away to certain places this season. Wolves. Do you know what I'm saying?
Forest,
even going away to West Ham, Forest. And you're a little worried. You're thinking, you know, there's a couple ways that we could lose this game. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't think anyone, any of the top six have had an easy game against Wolves away. And I think, yeah, definitely the level of the league across it is fantastic. But I do think, if we're talking about City pool era, for instance, where, yes, those clubs were far ahead of the rest of the league, I don't think looking at Arsenal, Liverpool and City, they're not of that level. They're not as complete. Liverpool and City, when I looked across the team, you're looking at 6-7 all-stars.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? 6-7 world-class players, best in their position. And even the other guys, they're solid.
Mm.
City, Arsenal and Liverpool, I'm seeing a couple gaps. Arsenal, the striker, the LCM. Liverpool, the DM.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Striker and left wing, still not that convinced. City, the pivot. Rodri's partner, they put a couple guys in there. Every single one, I've been like, yeah. I'm not going to lie, left out, wingers, out well, not been that convinced. Grealish, meh.
Doku.
I like Doku.
But Doku's not that. He's not.
He's still young.
Yeah, he's not a superstar. Like,
yeah, he's still young. You know, bro, them times we're talking about City. Bro, when they were playing as well, you think about the quality of the games.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's what I was saying to you. Like, even with like, I go back to like 09, 10 times when Chelsea and United both got to the Champions League final, yeah, and I looked at both of those lineups and it's just experience, quality.
It's just all-star like, after all-star, yeah, bro.
And I can't wait for Arsenal, Liverpool and City to get to that point where it's just like, they're all complete.
Hold on. Question then, yeah? Is it that the mid-table teams have increased their standard or the top teams have then decreased?
Both. But I think it's actually mid-teams have increased more than the top teams have dropped off. I don't think the top teams are that far off. It's about one or two signings.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think this summer, I feel like two out of three will get it right. But there's always one that jams.
It's tough though.
Two out of three will get it right with their signings and we'll see a lot of quality from those teams. And then probably the third one will again be in the title race but probably drop off.
Because I think if the Liverpool team that won Prem plays the current Liverpool team, they're smoking this team.
Oh yeah,
100%.
The Liverpool team that played this team, they're just going to physically absolutely dominate this team. You know what I'm saying? But I feel like the Liverpool team that of the old, they'd win this league easily. But the City team as well would win the team, would win this league as well.
They hit
190 points over two seasons as well as the City team. The league is going to be won late 80s.
I agree still. I don't think when I look at the title race now, like, obviously you're projected for 84. Like, we're projected for 80 points. Like, halfway through the season, you're 42 points. So, when I look at it from that point of view, like I worked out, like, for us to touch 90 points or something, we would have to win like 16 out of 19 games or something, which as of right now just seems very unrealistic. Mm. I'm thinking that City are also going to have to, you know, put up that pace as well. I don't see them.
But you trust them?
Don't get twisted, it's possible.
Mm.
But I've already said, I think City have dropped a level, but the level that they've dropped to is still high anyway. Do you know what I mean?
They're too
high. Because the level they're coming from is like unreal. But yeah, I think late 80s, probably like 87, 88 points is what's going to win the title this season. Yeah. And all three of the teams are capable of touching it. And so I actually think it's going to come down a lot to the games that we play against each other, you know?
Yeah, honestly.
100%.
And obviously right now, I think Arsenal are top of that trio.
Like, I also think it's like the games we play against other big clubs.
Mm.
Who can nick wins away at United, Newcastle,
City haven't actually been great in the top six games though.
We haven't been the best either. A lot of draws.
Yeah, we're at the top of that table. That's Arsenal what I'm saying. Been doing like, well. Bro, that's what I'm saying. When we're losing points, like we're dropping points to like West Ham and Fulham at home, bro, that's unforgivable. Like,
do you think it's unforgivable because of the level you're expecting City and Liverpool to be at, or because of the stage of the season?
It's not about it being early. It's still unforgivable, isn't it? Because like, you should, going for a title, you just shouldn't be, like, Fulham went down to 10 men, bro.
Yeah.
And we drew 2-2. Yeah. Like, did you know what I'm saying?
I think that will happen while you don't have Gungman.
No, 100%. Yeah. 100%. Of course, it's gonna happen. And that's, like, I think, I asked someone this before, and I think it was Toby I asked, yeah? Like, do you think Liverpool getting a DM, like, would have more of an impact than Arsenal getting a 9?
Oh, that's a good question.
I think Arsenal go to a higher level with a 9 than you go to a 6.
Yeah, depends on the quality of your... Yeah.
Just in terms of, like, the extra points.
If you get world-class each.
Yeah, like, if you were to get world-class 6 and we got world-class 9, I think we would have, like, a bigger increase.
A bigger jump, yeah, but I do think we're better.
In points. Slap Rodri in your team, slap Haaland in Arsenal.
Yeah, like, I feel like...
I would prefer Declan, you know.
Man, that's another
give them Declan, but even if they have Declan, I still see you, man, with, like, a front three that's not
Like Salah's obviously there, but it's still
the thing is we I feel like we need both. I was telling Toby the other day, I was discussing with him, and I was saying I think we need a DM and we need an attacker.
Yeah,
100%.
Or we need one of these attackers to wake up.
Because I feel like we don't need to, but like LCM is obviously it's nice, but we don't need one. We just need a nine, bro. We just need a
realistically. Score. I do think the nine probably takes you to.
I think we explode. There's games that like because right now like I wouldn't say there's not really a game that we've dropped points in where I'm like. We didn't deserve a point from that game, innit? Even the games that we've lost. We lost to Villa.
For Liverpool edged you.
Do you know what my thing is?
I don't think you deserve a point.
I don't think we deserve to win, but I don't think like I don't look at it and say, oh, we deserve to lose that game. Like the Newcastle game, I don't think we deserve to lose. Like we lost the game, but it was a tight game. Like yeah, and those are the type of games where it's like you bring in a nine and you don't lose those. Like, you might even nick a win
with that is though, yeah. I think if you man bring in a nine, it puts you to like the higher bracket of still that second tier.
It doesn't actually raise your level.
I feel like it depends how good the nine is, you know.
No, but the thing is
you get a brazy nine, they're kind of patterned. But we do have
because we're so tough to beat, it's like I just feel like the nine is all that's left.
But like the nine that you're expecting is a nine that should just score chances that you should score anyway.
Yeah,
it's not someone that's doing something.
If you look at them right now, the keeper's a bit stiff. I feel like when a top team's got a brazy player at every position, Saliba's quite brazy. I even feel like Gabriel might get to that level. He's looking real good. Rice, I think, is a hell of a DM, and then they've got Odegaard. And then if they get a crazy striker, it depends the level of striker they get. I don't think they're going to get a crazy one. I feel like they're going to get a strike. I reckon it's going to be Osimhen or Tony.
Mm.
Both of those guys, for me, have a level to go before they're the type where you're like, yo, long. They're not Haaland, did it? Mm. When City got Haaland, we all said long.
Yeah.
Long. I don't really think any of them
like, but again, though, like, it's like, I look at like Aubameyang, yeah. If Aubameyang was in this team, like we comfortably win the title.
No, but the prime
Aubameyang, I still think
In big games, he'd be meaty.
No, because you even go back to Aubameyang, like what he was doing when we won the FA Cup. He won the cup for us against.
Yeah, but you were.
We played Chelsea. You played City. You beat both of them for us. I can't argue that.
I don't feel that guy like that. He did play.
That's fine. But at the end of the day,
he's a top player.
I think if we have
top player, he's not. You know,
we have a goal scorer in the team. It goes.
You have been here for a while, innit? I'm not even trying to.
Aubameyang is the difference, bro.
He's not that good.
He would be. If we had Aubameyang in this team, we win the league.
Anyway, man, thank you guys. That's another episode of The Rondo. We will be back next week. Big love to all.
Wow.
Like, subscribe, and all them things there.
Mm-hmm. Push.